She's a marketing maven. She has defined the marketing strategies for some of South Africa's biggest companies. But here at High FM, we just call her Dina Diamond. This is Monday Marketing.
Dina Diamond, a good morning to you.
And a good morning to you.
So here's the thing. I mean, are you stocking up on Eskimo pies before they're all gone?
I am. I remember it was even a question you once had, and you were confused. It was that,
yes.
Is that vanilla ice cream with the chocolate
right
on the outside?
So in America, in the United States, the original Eskimo pies, and we don't know if they were still made with real Eskimos or not, but those ones are vanilla ice cream with chocolate. The Eskimo
yes.
pies that we used to have here in South Africa, and I don't know if we still do, were these wafers with vanilla ice cream. They definitely didn't have any real Eskimos because they were kosher. So, and
yes,
I don't think
exactly.
Eskimos are kosher.
Unless they've been properly shechted.
Yes, exactly, which is then problematic for, you know, Greta and everything. But still, so there you have it. But have we gone completely mad? The whole of last week, we were following and we were covering story after story after story of American brands who are either changing their name or changing their branding because of concerns around racism. By the end of it, it would appear as though we were going to purge all black people off any packaging, and only white people are going to allow to be on packaging, all in the name of non-racism.
Absolutely. So as you say, yes, Eskimo pie, I mean, have been around for like literally decades and decades and decades. And then only in 2009, a Canadian Inuit woman actually said that the product name insulted her heritage. So they didn't see the need in 2009 to change the name.
You could one machine.
And,
I mean, if we had to listen to every one of our listeners, and that we wouldn't get up in the morning.
No, it's so true.
absolutely. But now they have caved in, and they have said that we are sorry, we've relooked our brand, and they're going to change it. So, yes, I think there wasn't enough impetus, obviously, in 2009, but this entire Black Lives Matter movement has just created an absolute swell in the entire sort of U.S. brand market. And you will no longer be seeing Eskimo pie, which is actually very sad because, again, we know that there are no Eskimos inside.
Not real ones. Anyway,
Inuits
are offended that they didn't use Inuits and only Eskimos. I don't know.
Listen, it was only one woman in 2009 and in Canada of all places. So therefore we know.
When was the last time you took a Canadian seriously? Yeah. When was the last time anybody? I mean, do we take that guy with the tattoos who I like? What's his name?
Who's that?
The singer.
Who's that?
Yes.
The Believer. One who sings,
Believer. Just,
He's Canadian.
He's Canadian. We don't take him seriously.
Oh, no. And then there's Mega.
Seriously. You think about it. You find me one Canadian.
And David
that we
Beckham.
What?
He's not Canadian.
I was going to say, well, that confused me. That threw me for a loop.
But you know, I actually think kicks it off was actually Quaker Oats because they announced that they are no longer going to be selling Aunt Jemima. And Aunt Jemima has been a brand that's been around also for decades. In fact, since the late 1800s. PepsiCo as a major company that owns so many brands actually relooked their branding because someone actually tweeted that they were having a racist cereal for breakfast, and then that sent off a media storm of note. And then they announced that it will reimagine. That's a great new word they're all using.
Reimagine
the Aunt Jemima brand of syrup and pancake mix.
I hate
and the, whole reason
the word reimagine in that context.
I know, it's a shocker. It's a shocker.
Because it is
and
so
they
North
say
American.
The reason it's offensive.
Yes. The word.
Sorry,
or,
why do you hate it?
The word reimagine, because it's just such a, I can't. Just carry
it's
on.
It's like a belittling word almost, especially in this context.
It's deplaning. It's deplaning.
Indeed. But apparently Aunt Jemima was fashioned after a mammy caricature, which is a racist depiction that portrays black female slaves as smiling, happy homemakers for white people. And it was actually fashioned after an actual slave herself who became free. Her name was Nancy Green. And she was depicted forever as part of the branding.
So let's wipe her name from memory. Let's wipe her face from memory, all in the name of non-racism. I like it.
Exactly. I mean, I think it was last week we were talking about how do brands react to this Black Lives Matter, and if they disingenuous, obviously it comes off, and we saw that with brands that were getting slammed because they themselves were accused of racism and then coming out with statements of support. Yes, we said it did have to be genuine, but obviously it caused all brands to literally go into mass panic and reevaluate all of not only the name of their brands, the logos on their brands. I mean, you've even got NFL teams. So this wasn't even for Black Lives Matter. This was, they called the Redskins. And as we know, the Redskins is actually a derogatory name for Native Americans. But the NFL Washington Redskins have been going also since 1933. So it's also been now to change its name.
Well, and in South Africa over the weekend, we've had Mnet or DSTV pulling Leon Schuster.
Listen, again, where do you stop on comedy and where do you stop on...
Look, I can't stand Leon Schuster. I've never liked Leon Schuster. I've always found it both offensive and irritating. But then I get to choose not to watch it. You know, that was my choice that I would make. Zanatti's always found it funny. She doesn't find it offensive. She didn't find it racist. And Zanatti... You know, you were surprised. Well, you're not surprised, really.
I'm not surprised. I knew it was coming. I really knew it was coming. But, and I mean, a lot of black South Africans were saying also they don't understand why they have to get rid of Leon Schuster's movies.
Yeah. In fact, one of our listeners, Jenny, earlier also said, and I just want to go to that message, when I explain to my children what life was like during apartheid, I get them to watch Leon Schuster movies. It's what you don't see in the movies that shows apartheid. It also shows the mindset of people. So we are really just purging history from everything that we find distasteful in 2020.
I'm actually seeing that the family of Aunt Jemima is actually saying that by removing Aunt Jemima, it's an injustice for them.
Of course it is.
Because it's part of their history.
That's a legacy. And not only that, but it was after a slave who had been freed. So
yes.
Nancy became almost a symbol of the freedom of slavery. So it depends where you take it and what your view is. So absolutely. So if her family are saying that obviously she's been iconic and she's been one of those women, actually it's actually the opposite. She's showing that how far America has come, actually.
I want to read you Roland's message. I just want to find it because I thought what he said was very, very interesting. But I do need to find it. I will in a moment.
While you talk about Roland, I'll tell you also what else is also, it was also fashioned after sort of the mammy character. And that's Mrs. Butterworth. And that's the pancake mix. And that also has been going since 1961. And the syrup bottles were actually always a point of contention because they said that the shape of the bottle was the mammy character of a black woman subservient to white people. So it's pretty much on the same vein. And so just the bottle alone has caused mass issues, and they are now going to take that away as well. And they've said, we stand in solidarity with our black and brown communities, and we see that our packaging may be interpreted in a wholly inconsistent way with our values. So, these have been existed forever.
I think Roland's point is becoming more and more relevant to what we're talking about here. Mnet pulling Schuster movies, this is what Roland says, is nothing more than a pathetic, liberal, white people trying to feel good about themselves.
So interesting.
I actually think he's right.
So interesting.
It so resonates for me because, you know, obviously certain things are going to offend people. You know, you can't be on a morning show for more than 10 minutes and not have offended somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do, if you don't, well, you know, then you're boring. But it is just so interesting that you can't, because one woman in Canada says, well, this is an insult to me. It doesn't mean we need to get hysterical. You know, maybe she needs to pull herself together. Dina, there's some strange.
Sorry, can you hear me?
Yeah, now I can hear you.
So no, there's a helicopter. See, everything's back in the world.
No, you see, so no, Carol listen, says, I mean, Carol says, good morning, Howard. What a pleasure to see white people back on packaging for a change.
Oh my gosh.
Carol? Carol? Well, that's not okay. I want to see everybody back on packaging. I don't want to purge anybody. Clown says it's virtue signaling. Okay. It certainly is. Yeah.
But people, maybe packaging should just be people free. I mean, so when you say what's going on in the States, they're not just looking like African Americans. There's also, I think there's a lot to do with the Native Americans, especially in America, where you've got football teams named after Native Americans. You had, teams in, there was like there's the Cleveland Indians. I mean, they've got that mascot, which is actually a very cool one and it's been around forever. They're also looking at that. Syracuse University had a team called Big Chief Orange and they're looking at that. There was Mexican chips. I mean, Fritos. They also, after Mexicans originally had, a guy speaking broken English and robbing unsuspecting bystanders, which was a Frito Bandito.
Well, what about tequila? It's drunk by real Mexicans and other interesting people.
They've gone from that Mexican bandit to the Mancha Bunch, which is
boring. Which is like, you know what? We are going to live in just the most depressingly PC world.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, research does support it. So it says that, so especially in the States, so consumer research says that 87% of Americans would purchase a product from a company that advocates an issue they care about, and 88% would boycott a company that they feel has behaved irresponsibly. So, yeah, we are living in a whole new world. Brands aren't just living sort of in isolation anymore. We are living in such a politically charged world. And yes, to a point, I think we have gone a bit mad where everything is over-analyzed, over-vetted, over-censored. But brands have to step up because if they're not relevant and now they can't just do big TV ads anymore. They can't just do print advertising and think that's going to sell their brand. They have to be able to resonate with the audience that actually, and their consumers that buy their products. Mm. And that's what we're seeing.
30 Len says, good morning. Just a thought. First they burn the books and then people. I fear this BLM, that I fear that BLM is heading down that road too. Taking a look at some other messages. Melinda says, I'm getting really nauseated by all the apologizing. Like apologizing for anything white. It's becoming devoid of meaning. Do we even know what we're apologizing for? Do we even know how it pertains to the South African environment? Or are we just trending what is happening in America? It's going to become like saying you are fine when someone asks how you are. Surely it's going too far in the opposite direction is also not the solution. Where's the middle ground is everyone, people, the middle ground is people, not a race. An interesting one, and I fully agree with a lot of what Melinda is saying. And we've been speaking about the concept of blackface, which in the South African context has never been viewed in the same way as it has in North America. I've explained before the background that African Americans were not allowed to participate in theater. Their roles were always played by white people, and would generally do so as a caricature. So it was racist. It was offensive in how it was portrayed. That didn't happen in South Africa. We've got our own stuff. That just wasn't one of ours.
Can I actually even say last week, everybody was up in arms after a singer, Tyrese. So he's also acted in the Fast and the Furious franchise.
Okay.
He went off and he was spreading false information about South Africa, about how basically white people are slaves of black people in South Africa.
Oh gosh, and nobody even told me.
So that was the first thing, and then
I didn't get that memo. Did you, Dina?
I didn't. I would have been more subservient.
I'd like to see that. Yeah.
And then he went on and said that he's trying to apologize what he didn't do, and he ended up in his apology video judging us South Africans for calling people colored. And that's now highlighting the difference between the American and an environment
so
and this environment.
That's why I saw the whole discussion around calling people colored.
Yes.
And I saw so many colored people saying, but I am colored. And,
yes.
And this is who I am. And this is, you know, I had a PA some years ago and I would say something to her and she identified as colored.
Yes.
And she'd say, Howard, you'll never understand. It's a colored thing. And you know, so it just became part of just who she was and who her family was.
Yes.
And, you know, we'd always look at sort of culturally what it meant and
absolutely.
And then all of a sudden I'm hearing that the word colored is bad and I didn't know it. And I feel terrible because I have to get hold of her and tell her.
No, but in a South African
but she can't be.
She doesn't even know that it's bad.
No.
But that's the thing.
Like that other people are speaking for people of color
that
have got no clue about their lives and their culture.
That's what's the nudge.
So
exactly what the nudge is saying.
Speaking about.
And Americans are now judging us, and it's like in an American context, colored referred to a black person, so that's derogatory in America, but not in South Africa, because in South Africa, that's the name of a race.
Yeah.
And they just don't get that. And now that now that's highlights, do we prescribe to the American, you know, culture? What, you, that's the thing. Where does it end?
I'm sorry, but I think, and I don't want to be, I don't want to be all protective and selfish around this, but we own racism here. We get it. We've done it. We've lived it. We get to tell them what's offensive and not them telling us. Honestly.
Exactly. We've been there. We've done. We've got the T-shirt.
We've got that T-shirt. Exactly. I think it is so offensive that they come here with their American attitude and are telling us what is offensive.
The American savior attitude. And
yes.
Just like, yes. What?
And the worst thing is we buy it. We buy into it. It isn't ours. Absolutely. We need to own what is ours. And we do have stuff. We've got plenty of stuff that is ours and not. So Dilo, getting back to the marketing side of things, how on earth? Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if you saw the article, if you heard us on Friday, we were speaking about a British parliamentarian taking Kellogg's to task because of Cocoa Pops, because there's a brown monkey in Cocoa Pops.
Which is monkeys are brown.
Because, yes, and Kellogg's
but also,
and Cocoa Pops are brown, but apparently that was offensive to somebody. We just don't know who. Well, to her. But, you know, this is where we're
at. But again, I think this is someone just jumping on the train. I feel like being outraged. I want to be part of the movement. And I think also one of the dangers here, and this is what's happened in the States, and this is why South Africa, and I think we have actually avoided it mostly. We're just jumping on the bandwagon and getting all like caught up in the US chaos that is erupting, because it is all over. And when you're in America, you do get caught up, oh, I've got to go protest. I've got to go show solidarity. And it's gone crazy in the US, and we actually, people just want to get involved because they feel like being part of something. Are they being part of it because it's genuine, or are they being part of it because they're just being swept up in the chaos? So
It's quite sad, really, because we become so concerned that one Inuit in Canada is going to be offended that we rather keep completely away from everything.
Absolutely. A few things. Think of an Eskimo, and I think an Eskimo also engenders a beautiful picture of an Eskimo in terms of it's cute, it's a great, I think it's a great picture. I love it. I mean, obviously I'm not from that community, so I can't say whether it's offensive or not to me, but I think it's just it's actually nicely representative in terms of having an ice cream named after your culture.
Well, isn't it up to the person claiming offense to explain to non-Inuits why it's offensive?
I think so. But look, and again, but that, I think
you can't just scream offense. You can't scream it offends me and offends my culture, because then you have that situation. What was her name? The emancipated slave, or Dina?
Aunt Jemima.
Yeah.
Oh, Aunt Jemima or Nancy Green.
Yeah.
And her family are saying
they're actually good. Because it's part of their history, and now it's like they're trying to wipe out their history. And I mean, I feel like Aunt Jemima is a symbol, because this woman, Nancy Green, worked with Aunt Jemima. She was born into slavery and she ended up working with this brand until she died. And I feel like that's also a symbol of female financial freedom.
Absolutely.
Emancipation. Yes. Absolutely.
On so many levels.
The story.
Yeah.
It doesn't just wipe out, because also then how do you keep this, the history of slavery alive in terms of what happened in the States? So if she's a symbol of someone who was a slave and went into freedom and was emancipated and got paid by this brand to be the representative, then surely that's a great story.
Mm. I think so. Jenny says, unlike South Africa, America has never dealt with their racist past. We should be leading the anti-racist movement, not following their social developments. I feel so...
Interesting.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with that. Why are we letting them...
Defend a delegation.
Yeah, I mean, with all due respect, look at the leadership that they've got. Look at what they can put forward as the best of their best. And that's who we're following?
Really? Yeah, that's actually very scary. Yeah, it is very. But they've also got now, if you look, I mean, first of all, they've got an orange president, so.
It's true. So, well, that is non-racism in its best, at its best. They've gone orange. Orange is the new black.
Oh, that's so funny.
And now also, I don't know if you've noticed, but there's a movement now to say black and brown. So black Beyonce came out. You know, there was that whole class of speech, and Michelle Obama like initiated it, and she got all the famous people to speak, and Beyonce, obviously representing the black nation, spoke, and she said all the black and brown people. So before it was called just black, and now it's black and brown. It's become a lot more inclusive. I don't know where that actually happened, that movement of black and brown.
It's true that. So the American, we've started using brown a bit as well.
We have, yeah, especially the woke people. Oh,
the woke
on
ones. Twitter. Really so, woke, then you've moved into different color shade.
Yeah, so it's to include like colored people and Indian people in America. Hispanic,
I don't know, is brown, is the reference to brown, I'm going to be offended by that, because I think that the reference to brown is a metaphoric lightening of black skin. And therefore, it is trying, because isn't brown a lighter version of black? And what are we actually saying? That that we need to make black people lighter and more brown? Haven't we moved away from that?
Mm-mm. So it's just to... So
I know, Zanati. I'm not being serious.
I was going to say, I think he's just messing with you.
Yeah.
My point is that that if you choose to be, anything can offend you. And if you're clever with language, anything can be used as a metaphor for something else. And that's where it becomes very, very dangerous, I think.
Agreed. I mean, Beyonce, even on, so it was Juneteenth recently.
Yes.
I actually didn't even know the history of Juneteenth.
I didn't either, actually, only this year, which is at least a good thing that I learned something. But tell us about Juneteenth for any of our listeners who don't know, who aren't as educated as we are, because I was educated last week already about this.
Yeah, me, oh, days already, days.
Zanati, have you heard of Juneteenth before this year?
No, I haven't. I hadn't.
So interesting. It just arrived.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So what is Juneteenth?
Not only that, but there was a massive hurrah in the whole of the United States. Just, I'll get to what that is. But let me just explain that companies like Nike, Target, Twitter, MasterCard, and Uber all actually recognize the day as a paid holiday. And there's a push now in the entire U.S. to make it a public holiday. I mean, so let me tell you about it, what
yes,
it was.
And yes.
So Juneteenth is actually the combination of June and the 19th. So what happened was in 1863, Abraham Lincoln, he signed the Emancipation Proclamation, which declared that all slaves were free, and that was the abolishment of slavery. But what happened was that a lot of slaves had been moved into Texas, where it was obviously on the plantations, etc., and Texas was somewhat more isolated. So only 2.5 years later, in 1865, there weren't actually enough Union troops available to help sort of reinforce the proclamation. And a general named Gordon Granger went to Texas, and he pronounced that slavery was over. So there were slaves until the 19th of June, 1865, 2.5 years after Abraham Lincoln had announced that slaves were free. Those slaves in Texas did not know that they were free. They did not know they had been emancipated. Mm. So this day is the celebration, not of all, originally it was mistakenly referred to as the day that slavery was abolished in America, but it was actually the final day when the final slaves in the U.S. realized that they were free. And that is the celebration of Juneteenth.
Amazing. Wow. Though. Such an interesting history.
Yossi says, Boker Tov team, it's all become a suppression of free thought and all in the name of freedom of speech. I've always loved Eskimo kisses. Now I'm a bit worried that if I'm caught on video doing what I love, my career will be ruined. Clive says Juneteenth is the day that Republicans freed the slaves. Very, very interesting. And Yossi also saying, you must watch a series on Netflix called The Politician. It is a satirical comedy drama that deals with the absurdities of wokeness, cancel culture, etc. Yes, I've started watching it.
I've heard about it, actually. I'm
very,
watching it.
Very interesting, because you know, you've got this fight of the episodes that I've seen about becoming sort of school president, and of course it's these two privileged white males, but of course they've got to find the right running mate to appeal to.
Oh,
you
yes.
know, so the one guy goes running around trying to find a disabled person.
Oh my god!
It's absolutely fascinating.
Completely satirical. It's all about trying to be so woke, so PC, so inclusive that people just don't even understand anymore who they are or what they represent because they're trying so hard to represent everyone.
Yeah, it's absolutely brilliant. It really is worth watching. It is 8:46. Dina Diamond, thank you for a really fascinating